يلا رسولي الكريم. أما بعد، الحمد لله. Tonight is the 25th of July in the year 2021. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 125th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu. And I'm on the subsection in which I'm taking a glimpse into some of his priceless words of wisdom, and we're talking about purification. So after mentioning some of the blessed words he uttered with regards to the purification of the heart, there then comes the external, the outward purity. With regards to the call of nature, having gone for the call of nature, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, he passed his hands over his stomach and he said, "How blessed is this one if people only knew its worth." Recorded in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 4468, Hafiz ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Wabil al-Sayyid, page 87 of the English translation. So he's known for the call of nature. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given him an easy, no pain, and the filters left his body. He puts his hand over his stomach and he's doing shukr. He goes, "How blessed is this if only people understood its worth." So now, who can only truly appreciate this? The one who's got blockage. You ask a person, if his urine is blocked, how painful is it? And if you was to ask him, what would you give for the urine to flow? In fact, there's a report. The report, I don't know the reference, but the report mentions that there was a king and he's on a journey, and Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he got ill. And he couldn't basically relieve himself. So he was thinking, what's happening? And then an angel appeared and he goes, "I've got the cure for you to urinate, but I want half your kingdom." So the man goes, "Half my kingdom?" And he goes, "Okay, take it." He gave half the kingdom. He managed to urinate. Then he lost his way and he was dying of thirst. And then he's going, he goes, "I'm down, I'm going to die." The same angel emerges. He goes, "I've got some water, but you're going to pay a price for that as well." He goes, "What's that?" He goes, "Half your kingdom." So he's thinking, what's the point of having half the kingdom? I'm going to drop dead. He goes, "Yeah, take it." When he had the drink, the angel then told the man, "Allah Ta'ala is not in need of your kingdom. He just wanted to show to you how much it's worth." So basically, when you go for the call of nature, that's half your kingdom. And when you drink a glass of water, that's half your kingdom. So go back to what Hazrat Ali said. He goes, people are in na shukr. You know, think about it. You know, you see people, they go into the toilet and they don't even do shukr. They just think, yeah, it just happens. What just happens? You've drank, you've ate some, you don't even know what's happening in the system. How Allah Ta'ala is changing it into blood, changing it into other things, and then getting the filter of it. You don't even know how your digestive tract works. And then you just urinate and no sugar. So Hazrat Ali was not like that. He put his hand over his stomach. How blessed is this if people only knew its worth. And there's a dua, beautiful dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would say after he ate, Alhamdulillahilladhi at'ama wasaka wasawwahahu waja'ala lahu makhraja. All praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave us to eat and to drink, made it easy to digest, and provided for it an exit. Now, why did the Prophet say that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First, he's praising Allah ta'ala for the food and drink. You didn't make it. Doesn't come from supermarket. Allah ta'ala makes things grow. So you thank him for that. Then he's thanking for the digestion. Made it easy to digest. Then it is a third shukr. And provided for it an exit. In Abu Dawood, authentic hadith. So isn't that dua important to make? So Hazrat Ali was teaching you, always be in a state of shukr. There's actually a hadith which mentions that when you talk about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you show gratitude. So when you talk about your eyesight, even though you're not thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's gratitude. because you can't help but be grateful. You talk about hearing, you know, you can't help but be grateful. So one of the keys to this is just talk about it. So Hazrat Ali practically did that. He goes, how blessed is this? If people only knew its worth. He then went on to explain that when you show gratitude, Allah Ta'ala opens up more blessings for you. In Ibn Abi Dunya, he said to a man from the tribe of Hamadan, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity is directly linked to his gratitude, i.e. you're showing thanks. And your gratitude to him is directly linked to his generosity. Thus be wise and consider that the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not stop increasing unless the gratitude of his servant ceases. So let's look at this. So Hamadan was a famous tribe of Yemen. Hazrat Ali was sent as the governor there at the Ilan. So maybe it was during his time as governorship. He said to a man, he goes, remember this. Allah Ta'ala is the most generous, but it's linked to your shukr. When you show gratitude, you're unlocking his treasures. And then he says, Allah Ta'ala will not stop being generous to you. He will not until you stop doing shukr. If you stop shukr, he will turn off the tap. If you do shukr, he'll give you more. This beautifully explains the verse of the Quran in Surah Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 14, verse 8, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَا رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Remember when your Lord declared, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are grateful, I will surely bestow more upon you. But if you are ungrateful, then know that my punishment is severe. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Clearly in the Quran, if you do shukr, I will give you more. لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ I will give you more. But if you are ungrateful, my punishment is severe. Now, what does that mean? What will he give you more? So you ask the person, say, so if I'm grateful, Allah Ta'ala gives me more. He goes, yeah. And he starts thinking of money. Okay, I'll be grateful. He gives you more of what? Ali ibn Abu Salih, he recited the verse, he said, I, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will give you more of good deeds. I will give you more of good deeds. This is in Ibn al-Mubarak in his Zuhd, number 320. Ibn Abi Dunya in his Ash-Shukr, number 194. So let's look at this. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, if you show gratitude, I will give you more. Give you more of what? What's the most precious thing that you can be given more of? Good deeds. Your fruitcake. Not money. You know, you ask a person, what would you like more of? I would like more money. What would you like more of? I'd like more property. It's okay. What would you like more of? I would like more fame. What would you like more of? Which planet are these people on? And then you go, but don't you want the most precious thing? And he goes, what's more precious than property, wealth, fame? Good deeds. And then he looks at you like that and he goes, oh, yeah. No, brother, you're doing that again. What's this? What you keep doing this with your hand for? Good deeds is the most precious thing. And you must have heard the hadith. Three things follow you to the grave. Two return. Your wealth and your family returns. What stays? Good deeds. And what do you say in the grave in authentic hadith in Bazaar? You will say to your good deeds, I thought you was the least important. So even though you did those deeds, you still got that illness. I thought my family had an edge over you. I thought money had an edge. Now I know it's you. And what is the key to unlocking those good deeds? Shukr. Think about that. So you should do shukr all the time. You get out of the chair. Alhamdulillah. You're breathing. Alhamdulillah. You know, the awliya, they will do shukr for each breath. Always doing zikr. When they chew, every time they chew. Right? You know, like they're obsessive about it. They put their hand, alhamdulillah. Put their socks on, alhamdulillah. Knees crack, alhamdulillah. Right? Phone rings, alhamdulillah. Right? Each step, alhamdulillah. And what do? We ask these questions. When do I need to do zikr? Oh my God. Put top on, brother. Turn top off. Turn it off. Right? And he goes, why? He goes, you're asking those questions. You go, Allah Ta'ala, I want to give you a full river, you know, the river Nile of good deeds. And you're going, no, turn it off. So shukr leads to good deeds. How precious is that? This is a hadith. In Tabarani al-Haytami in Majma al-Zawaid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no greater blessing that your Lord can bestow upon you than for you to do His remembrance. Think about that. You ask a person, what's the most priceless blessing? Again, he's at it again. He goes, sons. He goes, daughters. Nah, brother. Right? Wealth. Oh, no. And he goes, what is it? He goes, for you to remember Allah Ta'ala. Who said that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the greatest blessing. So you could be living in a mudho, but Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with the greatest blessing, and you get another fruitcake in Beverly Hills, and Allah Ta'ala has abandoned it because he's not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What unlocks that? Shukr. Shukr. Allahu Akbar. Look at Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. What did he say to his son? Even before he talked about shirk, he goes, be grateful to Allah Ta'ala and your parents. Be grateful. Then he talked about Tawheed. Why did he mention that? Because that's the lock. So note what it has Ali say to that man. Just remember, Allah Ta'ala's generosity is linked to your gratitude. So he himself was doing it. Why do you think he said it openly? Who's he talking to there? He's encouraging others. He goes, what a great blessing. You don't realize this is such a great blessing. What was he wanting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ya Allah, bless me. Can't get enough of your blessings. And how do we know? We can ask and we can be greedy. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. When he recovered, 18 years he was ill. You know, serious illness. When he recovered, he was resting or bathing. And golden locusts started falling down. Gold. So they were falling out, you know, they weren't hurting him. And he starts gathering them. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, haven't I given you enough? And he goes, how can I get enough of your blessings, O my Lord? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning you should be greedy for this. This is what you're greedy. Ya Allah, no, I want more. I'm not happy. Who can get enough of your blessings? And righteous deeds. The awliyas say you should be in love with your deeds. Everything else is fana. Fana. Waste of time. Right? Because your deeds. Look at all the brothers and sisters who passed away. What have they taken with them? Where they lived. Their family. Right? They only took their deeds. So why don't you look with what you're going to take with you? So note, we're learning. Hazrat Ali is teaching us. Radiallahu. So physical purification. It is related that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu, he once noticed that some people, in accordance with the practice of the companions, radiallahu ta'ala, no longer use water for istinja, cleaning one's private parts. So this is interesting. Did the Sahaba use water for istinja? No. They use earth. They didn't use water. So some people thought, Sahaba did it. We're not going to use water. So Hazrat Ali looked at them and he said to them, you're not like us. Our excretion used to be like that of the goat, dry and hard. Your excretion is soft. Thus, after using stones with which you have dried, clean yourself with water as well. This is in Bayhaqi, number 519, Ibn Abi Shaybah in his Al-Musannaf, volume 1, page 142. So let's look at this. Did they eat much in the time of the Prophet? No. The Sahaba said our droppings was like goats, you know, like really rock hard pellets. That was their excrement. So why did they need to use water? You understand? So some people there thought, astaghfirullah, you know, don't want to be vulgar in the masjid. What's your excrement like? It's like fall of the rainforest, brother, right? And you don't want to use water. Right? So Hazrat Ali told them, he goes, you're not like us. Our excretion is like goats. Yours is soft. meaning you're soft people, you eat rich food. Therefore, after drying, use water. Thus, it would be fair to say that many of us who are now literally living like kings should thus regularly use water when cleaning after entering the privy. People ask daft questions, do I need to use water? So then you think, shall I get a shotgun out? Right? And then you go, or shall I go down the Fiki Baba route? Right? And then you go, sometimes you're shotgun in it because you have a bad day. Sometimes you go, okay, Fiki Baba. Well, it's wajib according to Hanafis, and it's wajib. You just use the water in it. You'll stink otherwise. Right? Think about that. And what's interesting, if it's dry, there's hardly any smell. That's another blessing. When it's rich, that's when the stink starts developing. Right? Like I mentioned, Imam Abu Hanifa goes, flies only sit when it's moist. Why? Because it's got some smell, some nutrition, as they say. And also the people of Quba, Allah Ta'ala praised them in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse and he says, Allah Ta'ala loves those who purify themselves. So the Prophet goes to the people of Quba, because what do you do that Allah Ta'ala has praised you? So the Quba, the Sahaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah, when we go for the call of nature, we notice the Jews, that they use water. So we thought, that's a good idea. So we dry up with earth, then we use water. He goes, that's why Allah Ta'ala has praised you. Meaning, very good. And this also shows that if the Jews do something correct and good, we do it. Because the Shariat is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a praise in the Quran. Think about that. Allah Ta'ala has praised those people. So don't you want to be amongst those category of using water? But what's really funny is when you actually show that, condole to a non-Muslim, he's baffled by it. He goes, what's that in toilet for? Right? And he goes, well, I rub it 3 times and a genie comes out. And he goes, no, tell me seriously. And then he goes, well, if I tell you, you don't know. And he goes, what? And he goes, well, we wash our private parts with it. He goes, how do you do that? We fill it with water. And then we use our left hand and we clean and we first dry with tissue, then we use the water. He says, why do you do that? And he goes, because Islam taught us that. Islam has taught us how to clean our backsides. But at the same time, they should be thinking, oh, yeah, Islam taught them everything. We don't face the Qibla when we urinate, we don't stand, we don't talk to each other. Our Prophet taught us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you can actually turn it on them. What do you do? Oh, that's private, innit, brother? Right? When you go to the toilet, you know what they do? One wipe and out, right? Right? Quick swipe, astaghfirullah, get out, swipe and out. Astaghfirullah. With regards to wiping over leather socks, there's a very famous report. In Abu Dawood, number 162, Daruqutni, number 73, Bayhaqi, volume 1, page 292, Darimi, number 709, Ibn Abi Shaybah, in his Al-Musannaf, 1-181, Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Irwa ul-Ghalil, volume 1, page 140. Our Mawla radiyallahu anhu, he said, لو كان الدين بالرأي لكان أسفل الخف أولى بالمسح من أعلاه وقد رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح على ظاهر خفي. If the religion was based upon opinion, it would then be more appropriate to wipe over the bottom of the footwear than to wipe over its top. However, I saw Rasulullah wipe over the top of his footwear. Mm-hmm. So, this is a very famous report. It's not a hadith. It's from Ali radiallahu. And what did he say? He goes, our religion, yes, opinion, logic has a place, but it's not on the top. Quran, Sunnah, then you have the logic at wherever it is placed. He goes, if our religion, what he's saying, if our religion was based upon Ra'i, opinion, he goes, look at the socks. Don't forget, we just wear socks for sure now. We're getting car. Those blessed days, they would walk on it. You've got to remember that. Brother. Up or down, don't make no difference. Yeah, because we're not traveling, are we? We're just in big jeeps, right? But in those days, it were proper socks. And this sock, this isn't a sock, obviously, has to be leather. So, Hazrat Ali said, think about this. If it was up to your logic, which part of the sock would you wipe? So you'd say, well, it's got to be the bottom, 100%, 100% bottom, because you're walking on it. He goes, but I saw Rasulullah wipe over the top. Who was he talking to here? He was talking to some people. They were trying to be clever. They go, no, we will wipe underneath as well. And he told them off because Rasulullah comes first, not logic. So the importance of not placing reasoning over revelation. Some people do that. And who were known for that? The Khawarij. So let me give you an example. When the women have their monthly cycle, what do they need to make up after they get purified?
Prayers.
Right. Do they need to make their prayers up? No. What do they need to make up?
Fasts.
Salat is farad. Fasting is farad. So why are they only making their fast up? Salat is more important. So believe you or not, somebody came to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha and asked that same question. She goes, oh mother, I'm a bit confused. Women need to make up their fasts, but not their salat. What's the first thing our mother said to that woman? Are you Khawarij? The Khawarij, that's their ruling. Logic. She goes, Rasulullah told us this. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, meaning keep your logic to one side. Now imagine those bachari, they gotta make up their salat. You flipping idiots. So imagine 7 days, 35 prayers make up now, then cook my breakfast, then wash the clothes, then make 35 prayers up first. You think Allah Ta'ala is gonna burden a woman with that? Fasting, no problem. All year you can keep it. How many did you miss? 10? Do it in winter, no problem. That's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't use logic. Logic, yes, you're right, brother. 100%, I'm going to keep my, just to make sure I'll keep my salat as well. No, you don't. Hazrat Ali is talking about this. He goes, you wipe on top of the sock, not underneath. Because Rasulullah said this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, let me give another example, so you understand that it's dangerous to use logic. Wiswas. You wash your face. Is washing the face farad? Yes. Is your eyes farad, part of your face? And then he goes, yeah. Well, obviously, it's not on your foot, is it, right? So, did you need to wash your eyeballs? He goes, now you've told me, bloody, because it's your face. Farad, isn't it? So put sellotape on your eyelids, without flicking water in there, and start moving your eye about. Did the Prophet tell you to do that? But it's logic though, logic. And guess what? A Sahaba did that. Abdullah ibn Umar started flickering water into his eyes. Then he saw somebody, he goes, don't look at me. He goes, don't, because Shaitan is playing. He goes, I've been affected. So what's beautiful about that report? He acknowledged that he had an illness. Some people who got that illness, they don't acknowledge it. Good noble, I'm more pious. Right? You should know I'm ill. And then he told him, do not copy me. There's an illness here, logic. So logic goes out the window again. Then you got the beard. So the jawline, isn't that part of the face? So the Prophet ﷺ said that if you know, the Sahaba explained that if you have a thick beard, water underneath is enough. Just to put water underneath. You don't need to start scrubbing and getting it to the jawline. Otherwise you'll have no beard left. Right? So you wash your face 3 times. Like that, and then you get some water, you put it under your chin like that, done. Shaitan will say, oh, the jawline. And next minute, you're in jet wash, you know, behind car. Right? You know, so obviously Allah Ta'ala in His kindness doesn't want you to do that. Don't use logic. Another example. When you break wind, do you break wudu? Yes. When you have the feeling that you're going to break wind, and you hold, you control yourself, and the pressure goes, have you brought your wudu? No. But scientifically you have. The guy goes, what are you on about? Because when you hold your, you know, you want to break wind, but you control, you hold it, and the pressure goes, when you relax, a little amount of gas escapes. It's an absolute scientific fact. So I'm going to do wudu every time I feel it, just in case. Doing it again. The Prophet goes, you haven't brought your wudu. Keep your logic to one side. Right? So here, Sayyidina Ali was given that example. He goes, don't use logic. Shaitan was the first to use logic. I'm better than him. I'm made from fire, he's made from clay. And what happened to Shaitan? So note that famous hadith was from Sayyidina Ali. And you get the impression there was people in Iraq who were probably giving, you know, he saw people with problems. Astaghfirullah. And like I mentioned, with regards to the wudu, I mention it in brief. He taught his son. He goes, get me some water. He poured the water, he did wudu. And then he drank the remaining water standing up. And the son was surprised, Imam Hussein was surprised. And what did he say to him? La ta'jab fa inni ra'aytu abaka an-nabi yasna'u mithla ma ra'aytani. Don't be surprised. For I saw your father, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, doing what you see me doing. Referring to his wudu and drinking the leftover while standing. This is in Nasa'i number 95, Sahih Abu Dawud Ahmad, Tabarani ibn Khuzayma Abdul Razak in his Musannaf. I mentioned this previously. But he was teaching his son, even Imam Hussein didn't know that, that the water that you have, the remaining water, becomes full of blessings. But you drink it standing. And then he said in another report, أَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُرِيَكُمْ كَيْفَ تُهُورَ النَّبِيِّ I wanted to show you how the Prophet performed wudu. This is in Nasa'i number 96, Sahih, Abu Dawud number 116, Tirmidhi number 48, Sahih and others. The scholars say it is sunnah to drink two types of water standing, zamzam and the remaining water from the wudu vessel. So he taught us that this is a shafa'ad. One report says he's got 70 shafa'as, 70 shafa'as, this water, or more than 70 shafa'as. And like I mentioned, the water can be sprinkled over people who are ill as well. In Sahih Bukhari number 6723, Sahih Muslim number 1616, Jabir radiyallahu anhu said, once I had fallen ill, and Rasulullah and Abu Bakr came to visit. They found me unconscious. Thus Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed wudu, and then poured his wudu water over me. So it's a sunnah not just for you to drink, to also, you know, respectfully, the remaining water of the wudu upon another, that will give shafa as well. This is also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The cure in this blessed water is not just in its consumption, but also if sprinkled externally as well. Subhanallah, what a blessing that many are ignorant of. Subhanallah. So all I mentioned today was now a few reports with regards to external purity. And note on ending gems or words of wisdom that fell from the blessed lips of Amir al-Mu'mini, which we learn many a lesson from. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى الله من الشيطان سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم